Brother Eddie asked me to preach, and I had several different thoughts, and I just didn't really know which direction I wanted to go, and I kind of got in and studying and really seeking the Lord, and I believe this message is for somebody. Amen. I believe that you're here for such a time as this.
Amen.
I want to start off with a verse that I just seemingly can't get away from here lately, because it seems like that if you stand up for the Lord, you have a big target on your back. And after what Brother Eddie was saying this morning, you know, I've heard it before, but let me tell you something. When he was talking about the Egyptians that you see now, look back because you're never going to face them again. Woo, I'm telling you something. That did something in my soul. Hallelujah. Anybody ever been going through some junk, going through long enough, and you said, God, when's it going to be over with? And God said, look back, because it's over with right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you know what? It's something that you need to proclaim every once in a while, not just to your family and not just to the Lord, but sometimes you got to let the devil know exactly where you stand. And the scripture I can't get away from is Joshua 24:15. And it says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you can stand and you can say, as for me and my house, we will serve. I want every daddy in the room, every mama in the room, every grandpa, every grandma, every kid. If you're going to say, look, Lord, I'm making a covenant with you. As for me, Lord, and my house. Come on, somebody. We are going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I want the devil to look. Hey, we are standing for God. We are standing for God. Hallelujah. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you for all that you do, Lord. We ask right now that you would just simply have your way in this house, Lord. We ask you to move in a mighty way, Father God. Lord, let your fire fall, Father God. Anoint me, Father God. Anoint my lips, anoint my voice, Father God. Anoint ears to receive your word, Father God. Lord, don't let me get in the way, Father God, but let it be your words, Father. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is real, He rules, and He reigns. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It might seem strange to some to serve the Lord. It might seem strange to some that you're going to church on Sunday night and not sitting in front of a television watching a football game. But last time I looked, a football game didn't save my soul. My Jesus did. Come on, somebody. A football game never did nothing for me but make my blood pressure go up. Hallelujah. And if you're a true fan, it'll make your blood pressure go up. But let me tell you something. When I get in the audience of the King and I see my Jesus, oh hallelujah, and I'm one day I'm going to see Him face to face, and all is going to be well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to go over to the New Testament. Like I said, we're going to be going around a little bit. John chapter number 10. Too many bookmarkers. Not enough bookmarkers. Too many bookmarkers. Amen. I'm sorry, chapter number 11. John chapter 11. This is the scripture the Lord really gave me this afternoon. And I'm telling you what. Whew. I've seen this preached several different ways, and I've heard it preached several different ways. And every time I've ever heard it preached was for the glory of God. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, hallelujah. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, Behold, him who thou lovest is sick. In verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Yes. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he saith to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou hither again? In other words, Lord, why are you going back to this place? You know they don't like you there. You ever been to a place where you know people don't like you? Family reunions is the biggest place. Amen. Where you know people just don't like you. You know what? It's all right because you're standing for something right. Amen. Choose you this day. It's a choice because I don't choose to drink the alcohol like they do. Because I choose to stand on the Word of God. Because I choose to raise my children in God-fearing children. Because I choose to pray. Because I choose to have the Lord or the King of my life. You know what? That makes the devil mad. And it makes the people that the devil follows mad. And it produces a spirit that comes behind there. You say, I don't know why those people talk about me, because they don't like you because of the spirit that is behind it. Amen? It's time that we look beyond us, and it's time we say, you know what? It's a spiritual thing. It's not a me thing, and it's not a my personality thing. It's a spiritual thing. The reason why people don't like you in the world, because they don't have the right spirit that you have. And your spirit doesn't bear witness with their spirit that they're sons and daughters of Christ. So you know what? If you're not for God, you're against God. Like Brother Eddie was talking about this morning. And if you're against God, you're on the devil's team. Well, I remember the songs that I used to sing when I was just a small child many years ago. In children's church, I'm on the Lord's army. I'm on the Lord's army. I might never run in the infantry, and I might never shoot the artillery, and I might never zoom or the enemy. Y'all remember that song? But I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm on the right side of the fence. I'm where I need to be, and I'm going to make heaven my home one day. Hallelujah. Are you going there? Have you got something to rejoice about tonight? Have you got something you can stand up and you say, I'm rejoicing again tonight? Let me tell you something. There's people within the sound of my voice tonight that haven't had true joy in years. You can laugh at things and you can smile at things and you can look like you're happy. But you know what joy is? Joy is you can't quit smiling. Joy is, hey, I just can't quit smiling. I'm just happy at the silliest things. I come home the other night and my oldest son sitting right there. Ain't he cute? He said, Dad, it don't take much for you to laugh. I said, no, it don't. I said, but you got to realize, after me working all day long, and after me dealing with everybody's attitude and everybody's junk and everybody's business and all that stress and all that getting, cast on me, being thrown under the bus and all that stuff, you know what? I'm going to laugh at something. I'm going to find something to laugh at. You know why? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It is my strength. You might say what you want to. That don't make no sense, Brother Chris. But let me tell you something. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I sat in the hospital room for the better part of the day yesterday with that lady right there. But you know what? I wasn't sad. I wasn't depressed. Matter of fact, she can tell you I had her laughing at times out loud because of the things I was saying. Because I knew that that hospital room wasn't my joy. I knew that my joy was coming from a higher place. And I knew that the healing for her was coming from a higher place. Place than where that doctor was, because my faith wasn't in the doctor, it was in the Lord. My faith is not in my banker, it's in the Lord. My faith is not in my physician, it's in the Lord. It's time that we start anchoring ourselves to things that are out of this world. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. We ask for things, but we don't believe we're going to receive them. Now listen, if I go and I order a hot dog and I want ketchup and mustard on that hot dog, I expect to have ketchup and mustard on that hot dog. Right? Don't give me a plain hot dog. That's not what I ask for. I ask for ketchup and mustard on that, oh hallelujah, on that hot dog. Right? So we go to God and we say, God, Can you spare me a little hot dog? Well, of course he can. But that's not what he said. He said, you have not because you ask not. And you have not because you ask amiss. You ask for relish on that hot dog. You really want a ketchup and mustard. It's time for us to go boldly through the throne room of God and say, Lord, I want my family to be saved. And that's what I expect. I want healing, and that's what I expect. And it's time we lay a stop down and we say, God, I ain't moving until I get it. I'm not going to do it. But too many times we come up to the altar and we'll come up and we'll pray and we'll say, Lord, that's good enough. Go back to the altar. Go back to the altar. Go back to the altar. Jacob went back to Bethel. He said, God, I got to go back to Bethel. I remember that place you touched me. I got to go back there. Go back to that place. Keep seeking God and keep seeking God and keep seeking God. It's never going to come easy. My dad always told me, if you want it, it ain't coming easy. You have to work for it. Now listen, God's hand is open. It is. But if you're not reaching out for what he has in his hand, you're never going to get it. If I'm going to sit back in my pew and say, God, I want you to do it, but never reach out and take it, then I'm never going to receive it. Amen? Part of giving is receiving. If you had a $20 bill handed out right here and you said, Brother Chris, here you go. Now, with your intent was to give it to me freely. If I never reached out and grabbed that, oh, hallelujah, $20 bill, I feel that, woo, glory, grab that $20 bill, I'm never going to receive it. We're missing it because we're not receiving of it. Our cup is not held out. Our cup is turned upside down in the dishwasher. Amen? We're not saying, God, I want my cup filled up, so I want you to use me, and I want to pour out myself into this world, and I'm going to come back, and I want it refilled again. We went to this the fair. I told y'all in Sunday school about Friday night. We went to the fair, and they had this thing. You know, everything at the fair is expensive. So $2 for a bottle of water, right? So they got this thing, free refills. That's where they get you, free refills on this tea. It was good tea, $8. Woo! Oh, that's a lot of money. But I thought to myself, you know what? Between me and Tabitha, we could probably drink a lot of tea because I get pretty thirsty, you know? So I was like, all right. So we were walking around. So I'm standing in line, you know, and this is like my fourth one, right? I'm standing in line. I'm looking over, you know, these people in line. They have a refill line. And I was like, hey, man. He's like, yeah. I was like, how many is this for you? He's like, it's three. Because, you know, we're all thinking the same thing. You know, I'm going to get as many refills as I can. I just paid $8 for a little drink. I'm going to get as many refills as I can so to justify me spending $8. That way, when I go home, I don't say, well, I give $8 or something. $8 for something to drink. Are you crazy? But you know what? God gives what he has freely. What do you tell the woman at the well? If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. It's time to start drinking from the well. Hallelujah. It's time to get our pitchers out and say, Lord, I want a little bit more. I want a little bit more. Lord, I'm expecting a little bit more. I've had enough with the status quo. I'm ready for a little bit more, God. Give me it. Pour it out on me, Lord. Pour it out on me. Pour. Just let it drench me, Lord. If you don't even get it in my pitcher, just let it go all over me, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Just let it go all over me. Glory to God. Just saturate me with your presence, Lord. Saturate me with your goodness. Oh, hallelujah. Just pour it out on me. We sing that song, send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on down. Wouldn't it be something if it were in like the latter days? Oh, hallelujah, what I read about. Hallelujah, and that rain comes down. 2,000 people are added to the church in one day. Oh, you say God can't do that again. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. He can do it again. Let me tell you something. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll always be like that. The same yesterday, today, and forever. His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. There's some people that have been praying for their lost loved ones on their hands and knees, crying out to God, saying, God, when are you going to get a hold of them? When are you going to get a hold of them? He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. I've never found him to be late. I think it's pretty interesting. On the way to work, I got to thinking about how God moves on time. For our life, for me and Tabitha's life, we were telling the boys the other night how we started off. You know, it's that old, well, we started off with a, you remember that? We literally, we had no car. We had no house. We were staying with her mom and dad. She got out of a wedding shower, a thing of pots and pans. That's what we had. I don't even think we still have them now. We might or might not. I don't know. I don't visit the kitchen often except to, you know, frequent the food stash. But that's all we had. And I look back and I say, wow, look what God has done for us. There ain't no way it's me. There ain't no way it was her. There ain't no way it was anything else but God. Because we served God. Because we knew a long time ago, over 18 years ago, God put us together. We knew that for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's where we're going to be. And we've not deterred from that. We've said, God, this is the track we're going to be on. And we're going to be on this track until this train comes back into the station. And when it comes into the station, I'm getting off. And I'm going to see my Jesus face to face. Hallelujah. And I'm going to know Him as He is. Hallelujah. But God has been good. All that was free. That wasn't even in my notes. Amen? In verse number 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Isn't it amazing how a drunk person stumbles? Isn't it amazing how you get in trouble for drinking alcohol? Isn't it amazing how many people drink alcohol and go to church? Listen, right is right and wrong is wrong. If God said don't do it, don't do it. It's just that simple. If God tells me don't go out and do it, I'm not going to go out and do it. You know why? Because I'm not going to. We talked a little bit this morning about the covenant relationship. Because I'm not going to break that covenant relationship. When I said, God, I want you to come into my heart. And I want you to cleanse me of all my sins. And I want you to save my soul. And God, I'm going to do the very best to stay on the track that you have me on. God, I know I'm human, and yes, I am. But you know what? God, you're with me, and you're going to hold my hand. I need you every hour of the day, every minute of every hour. God, I need you. Not just when I'm in pain. I need you now, Lord. I need you more than I've ever needed you before, God, because you are my water. You are my filling. You are my joy, God. You are my strength. Hallelujah. I need you, Lord. They stumble because they're in darkness. Because they're walking around in darkness. You ever walk around in darkness? It's not fun. When the boys were little, we had this double wide, I call it a double wide trailer house. Okay, that's what we had. We lived in one for years, you know, and we've lived in some nice double wide trailer houses and some not so nice double wide trailer houses. But God has blessed us, amen. But I remember on a double wide trailer, there was always a big open living room. And I would always get up and go to work really early in the morning. I've always done that from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. is generally when I go into work. And I remember you have to be real quiet. You know, when you're going through the house, you got these little kids, you know, and they're in their beds asleep. But they'll leave their little G.I. I call them G.I. Joe Army men. You remember those? Man, them little guys hurt. When you're walking through the house and you're, you know, you start stumbling in the darkness. And before you know it, you found the edge of the couch. Because evidently your pinky toe has got a missile right for the edge of that couch, and you'll just hit it every time. Oh, oh, hallelujah. And after a while, you can't be quiet. You got to let somebody know that you just hurt yourself. You know, and then the whole house is awake, and you're like, what are you doing in there? I'm just trying to creep out the house. You know, that's all I'm trying to do is just get out of the house, let y'all go back to sleep. But something was in my way. Something became a stumbling block in my way. We have to turn the light on for the world. Jesus said, I am the light. The darkness cannot overcome the light. No matter how dark a room gets, you can throw a little bitty light on, and the darkness cannot overcome that. It is our job, church. It is our job to be the light of the world, to be a reflection of that light and say, you know what? I want to let you know something. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. And to shine your light. People, and not everybody's going to like it. Now, when I walk into the room and my boys are asleep and I flip on the light, oh, Dad, what are you doing? That's why the world's going to react. They don't want to see the light. But it's time we shine the light. That's also free. That's going out to somebody. I don't know who that is, but y'all receive that. That's going out to somebody. He is the light of the world. Verse number 12. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly. You ever have the Lord talk to you plainly? He said, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. Now, let me tell you something. We've all lost loved ones in this sanctuary. Amen? We've all had someone that's close to us, whether it's friend or family, we've all had them die. And we've all had people come up to us, either at the funeral, before the funeral, I know what it's like. No, you don't. No, you don't. You can say you know what it's like. Listen, I had a young man who lost a sister in a car wreck a couple weeks ago that works in near my department. And I found out that he lost his sister. Immediately I went to him and I said, I want you to know something. So everybody's going to tell you that they know what it's like. But I want to tell you right now, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to lose a sister. And I went into the whole big, I'm looking at a rough dude. I said, I'm going to tell you something, but I have a blessed hope. I don't miss her like I used to. I miss her in the more of the sense of I'm going to see her again. I miss my dad in the sense that I'm going to see him again. I miss Tabitha's dad. Some days I'll think about him and just the silly stuff he would do. He loved to play pranks on me because I was the only son-in-law. Yeah. And so I had to have pretty thick skin. But you know what? One day I'm going to see him again. Hallelujah. We're not going to see pain. We're not going to see all these troubles and trials and difficulties. We're going to see Jesus. Hallelujah. And all is going to be well. All is going to be well once again. Hallelujah. But you know what? We don't have to struggle. We can say, Lord, you're my hope. You're my strength. So the disciples looked around and says, Lord, what are we going to do? And they said, look, Jesus said, look, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. Verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And verse 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto the fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. The Bible says the reason why Mary sat still is she was in a grieving mode. She was grieving the loss of her brother. All she could see was that her brother had died. All she could feel was the pain. All she could feel was the grief. You ever grieve so much, your absolute body hurts? You grieve so much and you just, God, and you cry so hard and you say, God, I can't cry another tear. And I just have cried and I've laid everything out for you, God. That's the same condition that Mary and Martha was in. But let's not forget, Jesus was in the same state. Watch. He was in the same state because he was all God, but he was still feeling things that men feel. Amen. And when she had so said, let's go to verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Thy brother shall. I don't know about you, but when God tells me that something's going to rise again, something's going to rise again. Amen. Like I said, we went to a concert Friday night. The person we heard was great. The message we heard was even better. The message of the cross. Amen. And one of the songs that he sang talked about, you're breathing, but you're not alive. And I look at how many people are breathing, but they're not alive. Let me tell you something. When Jesus called my name, oh, hallelujah. I came out of that grave. I couldn't sit there any longer. I couldn't sit on that pew any longer, Brother Eddie. I had to get up and I had to set my feet to walking. And I said, God, wherever you want me to go, I'm going to go. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. I've been dead for long enough. It's time for me to be raised up. Hallelujah. And don't you know that there's people in this world, in this church, that God's called you to do something, but you sit back. Why are you sitting back? Get up and do it. Who cares what your granny and your grandpa and your mom and your dad think about you? Get up and do it. If God's called you to do it. And do it with all of your might. Hallelujah. He will rise again. You will rise again. You said, Lord, I've missed my opportunity. I've missed it. No, you haven't. You seek God, and He'll bring it back to you. Jesus said unto her in verse 25, I am the resurrection. I am, come on somebody, I am the resurrection. He is the resurrection. Let me tell you something. I was dead in sins, but when Jesus called me out, hallelujah, I had to come out of that grave. I couldn't hang around in sin no more. I had to get up, hallelujah, and I had to go. It's time to get up and go. And the life, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Shall never die. I ain't going to die. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die. I'm not. Me and Tabitha was talking yesterday. I asked her. Sometimes I just, you know, talk. I don't know things, so I ask. I said, what is a living will? She's like, well, it's a thing that you go and you fill out. And I said, well, if I die, I want y'all to sing, what was that song? Oh, I can't ever remember that song. Oh, I'll fly away. Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'm going to fly away. I don't want to be no sadness, because let me tell you something, to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Some glad morning. And I got to thinking this morning about, I almost had to stop the car. I got to thinking about the great meeting that's going to be in the air. Oh, hallelujah, Brother Jose. The Bible tells me that those that are dead in Christ shall rise up. Oh, hallelujah. And it gets better than that. And then those that are remain alive and remain shall meet Him in the air. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. If that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Something wrong with your wood. You need to get it changed out. Amen. You need to find some joy, because that's where my joy lies. My joy lies in one day I'm going to hear and I'm going to see my Jesus face to face. I'm going to hear His voice. Hallelujah. And I'm going to look on His face and I'm going to behold who He is in all of His glory and all of His beauty. Like a bride adorned for her husband. That's what we're going to be. Hallelujah. Oh, what a meeting. Listen, I've heard the songs since I was about 5 years old. You've heard of little Moses and the bulrush. I've heard of all the stories. But there's going to be a meeting in the air. In the sweet, sweet by and by. Let me tell you something, child of God. Lift your head up. Don't be down. Because let me tell you something. We got to fight this battle to the end. We got to see this done to the end. There's one more. Hallelujah. Now, I heard, I think it was Sister Karen talk about one more mountain to cross. One more valley to climb. One more battle with the devil. And I'm leaving it all behind. Hallelujah. I know that there's only going to be one more. It might be one more mountain. This might be the mountain we're climbing, Brother Jim. It might be it. On the other side might be glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about that. Now think about that. I mean, that'll make you happy. That'll make you good and happy. Amen. Oh, that'll make you more happy than walking into a house and smelling pumpkin bread cooking. Woo! Hallelujah. That'll really light your fire. You say, Brother Chris, you're so crazy and you're so corny. You know what? I might be, but I've felt enough pain in my life. And I've felt enough heartache in my life. And I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy in that hermit shell saying, you know what? I ain't talking to nobody, because that ain't me. I ain't going to say nothing to nobody, because that ain't me. You know what? A long time ago, I looked at my mama and I said, Mama, I know why God put me on this earth. She said, why? I said, to make people happy, to make people laugh. She said, well, you do a really good job of it. I said, well, you know, you go with what you do and just be good at it. You know, that's all you can do. But you know what? My joy comes through Jesus. Weeping endures for the night. And there is a time we have to weep. There is a time that things hit us right between the eyes. They hit our heartstrings and we're down on our knees. But you know what? We don't stay down on our knees. We get up. We might fall down, but the thing about it is we get back up. We get back up. And you know what? When the morning time comes, it's not necessarily when the light comes. I figured this out, and it took me a couple years to figure it out. But you know what? At 12 o'clock begins a new day. At 12 a.m. begins a new day. Now, that means everything's fresh. Everything's new. Even your computer systems recognize at 12 o'clock, everything is fresh. You get a brand new day. You wake up in the morning, you have a brand new day. What happened yesterday shouldn't have an effect on what's going to happen today. Today is a brand new day. His joy is new in the morning. It comes in the morning. How are you going to get joy? I'm so sick and tired of Christians, so-called Christians and Christians, walking around looking like they just have lost their best friend. Y'all ought to be the joyous people that you've ever... You know what? The people behind the counter, they might get your food wrong, but that's all right. Because let me tell you something. I'm trying to witness to that person behind the counter. I'm trying to tell them Jesus loves them. I don't really care if you give me the right thing or not. I'm still going to eat it. I mean, look at me. Do I look picky? I'm still going to eat it. But you know what? We come into a place the other day, and you know, fast food, you're not always going to get the order right. It's okay. You kind of learn to accept that. And if you haven't, then something's wrong. You know, I mean, you're paying these people minimum wage, and you expect them to do a pristine job on a minimum wage pay. They're trying to do the best they can. So the next time you go to the fast food, go inside and look at the person behind there. And just look at them and say, God bless you. They're going to go, what? You know, what is this guy on? What is this lady on? You know what? It's that joy. You need to know something. That whether you serve my food to me or not, I'm after your soul. I'm after your soul. Because you know what? The devil's after your soul. Why shouldn't we as Christians be soul seekers? Back in the day, they used to call us soul winners. We were soul winners. We were sold out for God, and we were soul winners. Where are the soul winners at? We've lost it. Instead, we put our attitude right there on our shoulder. Come on, amen or oh me. We put our attitude right there. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. Put our attitude right there on our shoulders. You know what? You walk out. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what I did the other night. We go through the drive-thru at the local Dairy Queen. Now, I know I've been on a diet, but I've been doing good. I promise I have. And I promised that lady I would do good. So I'm doing good, okay? She's got me, my right hand, okay? I'm doing good. I promise. And I got Brother Jim. He's holding me accountable. You know, yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, I said, you want to go to Dairy Queen? Yeah, me too. So, I get the best thing on the menu to me is the banana smoothie, strawberry banana smoothie. Oh, yeah, that thing's good. Right? So, we pull up to the drive-thru. And it's so hilarious because we've had one of those days. And at the house, it was kind of one of those, you know, just kind of lull days. And at work, it was kind of one of them days. You ever had one of those? Just a plane. The plane crashed and burned the first 5 minutes you were there. You're like, all right, so here we are. Let's just make the best of it, you know. So on the drive home, I just begin to feel the Lord strengthen me. And the joy, I just began feeling waves of glory. Oh, hallelujah. I know that I'm not the only one that ever feels waves of glory come down. Waves of glory just come down. So y'all get in the car. Let's go down to the local Dairy Queen. We go to the local Dairy Queen, and I'm sitting in the drive-thru. And all the way over there, I'm talking in my voice that my wife says, don't let anybody hear you talk in that voice. I'm not going to do it right now. But my boys crack up every time I do it. And they're like, Dad, do it at the drive-thru. You just dared me. I'm going to do it. So I pull up to the drive. Now, mind you something. I'm shy by nature. I know y'all would never believe it. I'm really shy by nature. I am. And I'm out of my comfort zone when I do that, right? So I'm fixing to give somebody joy. Besides the people that's in my van. So the ladies inside, whoever's inside, they're fixing to just absolutely crack up, right? So I go to the drive-thru. You know, you place your order. I place it in there. And Tabitha says, Christopher Michael, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Uh-oh, Lord. She said, I'm getting in the back with my right hand up. She went and got in the back of the car. She got out of the car in the drive-thru. So Gabe jumps in beside me. He's like, Dad, this is too good. I'm not going to miss this. This is too good. I was like, all right. He's like, I'm going to film this. I was like, all right. So he sets his phone up on the passenger seat, right? So I pull in and I said, I have the hardest time. I know it's hard for y'all to believe, for me to keep a straight face and do anything funny. Because I generally, bah, you know. I said, Lord, please let me keep a straight face and be able to do this, you know. So we go to the drive-thru, and we pull up there. And the first thing, bless her heart, I know she was thinking, what in the world? Because the voice I used, I'm good at voices, okay? And the voice I used didn't match who I am by any means, okay? Wasn't even close, all right? And I can do a lot of people. Listen, I'll tell you something like this. I got 100-something people works for me, and I can do all of their voices really good. It's a skill I have, you know. So we pull up to the drive-thru, and I look over, and the lady's going, you know, and I said, Lord, please don't let me laugh. And so I talk to her regular, you know, with my voice, you know. I almost did it there. I don't want to offend nobody, so I ain't going to do it. Y'all see me after church if you want to hear it, okay? I ain't going to offend nobody. We're taping this. It has to go out. I didn't say nothing bad. I just said it's the voice I use, okay? So I'm talking to her, and she's still kind of, you know, and she, you know, at Dairy Queen, you know, when they hand you that blizzard, it's supposed to be upside down. So, you know, she was, goes to put the thing on it, and I said, hey, that's supposed to be upside down. And she looked at me like, with one of them death looks, like, oh, I shouldn't have said that, you know? And so she, upside down. And then I was like, all right, awesome, you know? So we pulled out of there. And I know the time we pulled out of there. As soon as we pulled out, Gabriel just, wah! He was laughing so hard. And I looked in my mirror, and I knew that lady. The first thing Tabitha says was, I hope we don't see her on the street nowhere. But you know what? It's thing. Y'all come go on a trip with me. It's hilarious. But it's things like that that we as Christians need more of. Listen, the world has its fun out there. And it does the things that's fun out there. We as Christians, we should have that joy in our life. Where we say, you know what? I have the promise of tomorrow. And if tomorrow doesn't come, I know I'm going to be in glory. Now, how is that not going to make you happy? Amen? Listen, when we get to heaven, my Bible tells me that it will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, if we can't live a joyous life down here, now, don't get me wrong, I am not one of them happy-go-lucky, joyous type preachers. That's not me. But if we can't live a joyous life here, how are we going to be in practice for what's going to be over there? Amen? So the next time you get down and out and gloomy and your bottom lip kind of drags the ground, we all get like that. You start thinking about, first of all, start thinking about the blessings of God on your life. Second of all, you don't have to cut up. You start thinking about heaven in your home. And you just flip over to Revelation chapter number 22. And you look at how John the Revelator is trying to describe Revelation to you. And he's trying to tell you about streets that are pure as gold. And he's trying to tell you about a gate that he can't even get. There's no adjectives that he can get to come out of his mouth that can describe how beautiful this gate is. The things that he sees, he can only compare and contrast to what he's seen before. So he doesn't even have words to say. If he said, man, I wish I could take a picture and show y'all, because you're not even going to be able to see. The Apostle Paul said, you know, one day we're going to see. He said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in me. Listen, I know me. There ain't no glory in me. But every glory that comes out of me comes from God. Every good thing comes from God. Every perfect thing comes from God. And so I know, hallelujah, oh glory to God, I know that whenever I see Him face to face, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be very happy. I'm not going to sit there and say, I'm going to say, it's you. It's really you. Lord, I've heard all these stories. You're going to see Moses. You're going to see John. You're going to see Joshua. Hallelujah. You're going to see all these. You're going to see Noah. You're going to see all these people. You're going to see Adam. You're going to see all these people. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What were they like? What do they look like? What's it going to be like? I can only imagine what that's going to be like. Yes, I'm going to be happy down here. And I'm going to keep on being happy down here. You know what? Because my home is not here. My home is over on the other side. My home is and I'm laying treasures up over there. And I'm laying treasures up over there. It's not here. It's not here. We've got it all wrong. We think as humans do. It's that stinking thinking I say all the time. That humans think. I'm a human. I know I have stinking thinking. We think that we need to set everything to the side right here. No. Life's not about, like we talked about on Sunday school this morning, life's not all about me, 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 me. It's about give, 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 give. That's what it's really about. It's really about give, 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 give. Let me tell you something. I'm going to give to you. It's not always monetary like we talked about. Sometimes it's going to be a hug. Sometimes it's going to be an encouraging word. Sometimes it's going to be, hey, I want you to know that God's going to heal you of that affliction because I'm praying for you. And it's sincerely doing it. It's up to us to encourage one another. The Bible says strengthen one another. That's what we're to do. Strengthen one another. When one person is weak, the other one's strong. Generally, in a husband-wife relationship, you'll find this. Those of you who have been married more than a few years know this. When one's up, the other's down. When one's down, the other's up. Amen? And it's up to us to... Very seldom will you be on the same wavelength. You'll be... And generally, you'll pass each other really close. You ever notice that? Because that's what God intended for us. to have a help meet. Somebody that's helping us. Amen? And for those of you who aren't married, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us. He helps us. Listen, sometimes I can't get a hold of my wife, whether it's a bad cell service, but I can always get a hold of the Lord. I can all 24/7, I can get a hold of the Lord. Sometimes she can't get a hold of me, whether I'm over there on my side of the bed just, you know, sleeping away, and she can't sleep and she's in pain. She can't get a hold of the Lord. God can do more for her than I can do, because He created her. I didn't. He did. Amen? So they're looking around, and they're saying, it's all right. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. He's not coming back. Lazarus is gone. He's dead. It's been 4 days. If it was 3 days, we still would believe, because tradition says after 3 days, the Spirit still hangs around. And we believe that after 3 days, the Spirit's gone. So He's dead. So all these people are gathered around the latter part of the chapter we read. And I'm cutting it short for a little bit for time's sake. We read that people are gathered around, weeping. In verse 35, the shortest verse in all of the Bible, it says Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He was so overcome by the emotion of what was going on there. Even though He was the resurrection and the life, Jesus wept. It's okay to cry sometimes. It's okay to weep sometimes. It's all right. You know what my dad used to always tell me? It's all right. It purifies your body. It purifies your body. Sometimes you got to get a good cry out. I'm not always happy. Most of the time I am. But when I'm sad, I'm sad. When things hurt my heart, I go away and I cry. I'm a 6'2", 344-pound giant. But I cry. I do. I cry a lot. If I get to thinking about things that really break my heart, I cry a lot. And I go over to the side and I give it to the Lord. And I say, God, I give it to You. Because I can't do a thing in the world about it. And you know what? He takes that from me. My Bible says that He'll give you beauty for ashes. Let me tell you something. He'll give you the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise, oh hallelujah. And He'll pour that on you. He'll say, come to Me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. The things that we carry on our backs and we say, God, this is so heavy. Lay it at His feet. Pick up His yoke because it's light. Pick up His yoke. Yeah, we weep. And yeah, we mourn. And yeah, we cry. Because you know what? We're humans and that's what we do. And it's okay sometimes to do that. But it ain't okay to stay in that state. It ain't okay. What I'm trying to tell you is, even though Lazarus was dead, he was going to be alive. And you need to see it through different spiritual glasses. You need to see this situation that you're in through different spiritual glasses. You need to see it like it's already done. You need to thank God like it's already done. The Bible said, and David said, I will yet praise You, Lord. I will yet. You know what that means, to yet praise? God, I'm going to praise You on credit like it's already done, because Your credit's good here. Amen. You ever seen somebody can walk in to a bank and get a loan just on a signature? That amazes me. That's totally awesome. You can go, well, nowadays you don't have to walk into the bank. You can just call them up. Hey, I need XYZ dollar. I'll put it in your account. Blah, blah, blah. You know, we just charge you for the rest of your life. No big deal. Yeah, and they do too. But you know what? God says, you praise Me like it's already done. Because it is already done. If you speak to that mountain and say, mountain, be thou removed in the name of Jesus. It's got to go. It ain't got a choice. It's got to go. There's something I realized about today, and the Lord's really been speaking to me heavy today, but about the devil. Did you know the devil, when God shows up on the scene, the devil doesn't have a choice anymore. His only option is to get out. That's his only option. He can't hang around. His only option. You say, Brother Chris, how do you know that? The maniac of Gadea, and I'm trying to close. The maniac of Gadea. He come up to Jesus, and what's the first thing He said? Are You come to torture us before our time? Oh, hallelujah. Matter of fact, my Bible says, and I'm quoting exactly, come down and knelt at His feet. Because you see, He was Jesus. And He still is Jesus. And every demon's got to bow before Him. Hallelujah. That demon of alcoholism, that demon of addiction, has got to bow right before Him. Because He is Jesus. And they said, cast us into these pigs over here, because we can't stay, but will You please cast us into these pigs? So He casted them into the pigs, and whoop, the pigs were gone. And immediately, boom, He was set free. The name of that man before was Legion, meaning many. 6,000 exactly, how many demons was in that man? He would cut himself at night. He would holler through the different mountaintops and holler and just torture the people. But when he met Jesus face to face, something happens, y'all, when we see Jesus face to face. When we get in our little prayer closet and we shut the door and we say, God, I'm not coming out until I get an audience with you. When was the last time you really did that? When was the last time you really said, God, I'm going to seek your face and your face I will seek? We don't want to do that because, God, it takes too much time. And we all know the Waffle House is open 24 hours. Come on. We're always going to have something to eat. Amen? And besides, the way I look at it, the longer the church service lasts, the more crowd you miss. See, so after that, you don't have to wait in line anymore. You know, it's like I tell the wife, that's favor of the Lord right there. Favor of the Lord. Amen? But you know what? Seek His face. Seek Him. Seek Him. I know I've been long-winded and I've chased many rabbits. But seek His face. Seek God's face. Amen. Worship Him for who He is. He is King of Kings and He is Lord of Lords. Now listen, I know tomorrow morning, for those of you to go to work, there's a devil waiting on you. And He will be. He will be. But you know what? Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Rebuke that devil and go on. Rebuke him and go on. Too many times we want to say, get behind me, devil, and we'll sit down right beside him. That ain't how it works. Rebuke him. Run him out. Get him out of here. I remember one time, and I'm closing with this story. I remember one time we had this. If y'all know me, I don't like being scared. I've told y'all that before. I don't like being scared. That's not one of my favorite things to do. The boys love to scare me if they can. If they think about it, they love to scare me. I don't like being scared. At work they call me Big Bear because, you know, I'm a big bear, but I'm just like a cuddly bear, you know. So, you know, I get no respect. So they love to scare me. So I'm at home. We lived in a house in Florida. It's been years and years. It's probably been 15 years ago. The boys are little. And I opened the lid to the washer, put clothes in there, and shut the lid to the washer and walked into the next room. And I come back in there and the lid to the washer's open. I said, no. Now I'm here by myself. I was like, no. Mm-mm. 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 No. Mm-mm. No. No. I go in there. I close the lid of the washer. And, you know, right now I'm saying, Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke anything in this house. Jesus. And as many times as I can say, Jesus, man, it's coming out. That's the only thing I know how to say. You know, Jesus. And I'm so scared. All I can say is, Jesus. And Jesus, help me. I know you can help me, Jesus. And, man, I'm crying. I'm so scared, you know. And I go back in there and I see a shadow go across the wall. I said, Jesus, no, Jesus, oh, Jesus. I'm right here by myself, Jesus, Jesus. And by that time, the daddy and the father and the husband and the man in me reared up. I said, you know what? I am not taking this anymore, devil. I am not living in fear anymore, devil. I'm not doing it. So I called the preacher up. I said, hey, man, you need to get over here as fast as you can. So, you know what? The next morning he got over there. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, kick every door open. Open every window. He said, we're going to pray and anoint this entire house. And let me tell you something. We had a big old bottle of oil. I mean the industrial size, you know. Man, we put oil all over. We were renting the house at that time. We put oil all over everything. Everything that wasn't moving, we put oil. Everything that was moving, we put oil on it. The furniture, everything. We prayed for each other. We got oil on everything. But you know what? To this day, we ain't facing devils again. Because I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. It's time, children of God. And that's for somebody that we stand up and we say, devil, you got to run. You got to run. You're getting out of here. I ain't putting up with your junk no more. I've had enough. You ever been to that? I've had enough. Enough. Run that devil out of there. You've got the power to do it. Heads bowed and eyes closed and everybody's standing. If you're in this house tonight and you say, I need more.